This is Jay Sekulow. In a shocking report, wasteful government spending exposed. Wait until you hear where your taxpayer dollars are going.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so folks, as we end the year, we look at government waste, of which there's much, and we're going to get into the particulars. But let me tell you one reason we have our Office of Government Accountability. It's for things like this. I mean, you can't make this stuff up where your taxpayer dollars are going. Our friend Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, who we've worked with on a number of issues, issues an annual, Logan, it's called a Festivus report.
This is like a Seinfeld reference of Festivus, the airing of grievances, and he puts out his list of ridiculous spending that happened over the list. There's this extensive list. You know, it goes through a lot, but some of the more ridiculous ones people have really pointed out, some in the tens to hundreds of thousands, some in the millions of dollars. And I actually think some of the ones that are more comedic that people see the headline for, like the one that everyone's talking about is the Thanos snap. If you don't know what that is,
tell everybody who Thanos is.
Yeah, people know. People don't know. Yeah, I think they do know. It was the biggest movie of all time.
Okay.
But for those who don't know, and in the Avengers films, Thanos, big purple villain, he snaps with this big gold glove, and in that eradicates half of the universe. So one of the things that was studied here was whether, in that metal glove, the metal gauntlet, the Infinity Gauntlet, could Thanos actually snap? The professor, whoever it was, saw it, said maybe could, and they got $118,000 in federal funding to determine this. Now, obviously, they come up with reasons of why this could be useful in the future, but it was very much a what's happening in the future. Some other studies include the fact they were injecting beagles, young beagles, like 6 month beagles, with cocaine, aggressive amounts, to see, one, if there was negative impact, and two, to maybe come up with some sort of treatment plans. Now, obviously, the human rights activists, the animal rights activists, are not thrilled with this. That, by the way, I'll have to find the actual number for that one. That was $2.3 million study. There was $1.1 million for training mice to binge drink alcohol, to check again the effects of that if it's negative. There was even a, are kids better off having pets study that happened. Is it good for a kid? Is it good for comfort? Of course we find out, of course it is. Of course you find out giving cocaine to beagles, not a good thing. Common sense things that happen. And then maybe the one that is kind of slipping under the radar, but I think this is how we're stuck in such old school mind thinking, is $2.5 million was spent on a Super Bowl commercial just telling you to fill out the census.
Yeah, this is absurd. First of all, you could do that with direct social media easily.
Yeah, exactly. It's
you could
pointless.
Use cell phones. I mean, but this, when you add it all up, it becomes tens of millions of dollars of our taxpayer dollars, which here's what I say. Take all the excess, stop the crazy spending, and send it down to the border.
Well, there's so many things. There are people who are can't afford to pay the rent or are going hungry. There's a lot of things in America we could really use this money for. And when you see this list, it does make you feel like you're living in sort of a failed state when this stuff gets approved. And it gets approved at this level. Like we said, hundreds of thousands of dollars on espresso machines at the Pentagon. Understand they need hundreds of employees.
Yeah, but it's like Patrick. Go ahead on the espresso.
No, I'm saying you need that. I understand you need those kind of amenities, but when you hear those numbers, you go, okay, well, certainly we could be using it more effectively.
So Patrick Leahy, I think, asked for almost $3 million, millions of dollars, for a center that's called the Patrick Leahy Center. I mean, this is when you think, okay, that they think no one's going to follow this. But when, as Logan mentioned, you got a homelessness crisis in the United States. You got a drug epidemic in the United States.
But don't worry, $3 million went to the Mahatma Gandhi Museum in Houston.
And why Houston? Because they have a Mahatma Gandhi Museum.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this is just, it makes, look, I understand individual congressmen are bringing back the pork, so to speak, that's what they called it, to their constituents. But in an economic time like this, this is not the way it should be. And we're pointing it out because I'm very tempted to have our government affairs office send out a FOIA request to the agencies involved in every one of these that actually are spending this, because I'd like to know where these requests came from. I don't know if I'm going to do that because it'll be time-consuming and we've got Supreme Court cases ahead, but it's very, very tempting.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go over some more of those. If you have any questions or comments related to this, I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Succulow, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, going through sort of the waste of 2022 Festivus report that Senator Rand Paul put out. And again, just shows you where spending is happening. Some of it is comical, some of it not so comical. There's even things on here like, you know, boosting tourism to Tunisia. That's happening.
Well, that should be on the top of everybody's
list. Yeah, so that $50 million went to that.
How much?
$50
million. I want everybody to hear that again. $50 million.
Went to boosting the travel sector during COVID of Tunisia.
Why in the world would we do that
million
in the United States?
On just keeping up federal housing that is no longer used.
In other words, it's subsidized housing that has been taken off the rolls because it's not suitable to live in. And rather than demolishing it like everybody else would do if you were in business, they keep them going even though they're uninhabitable.
Yep, including maintaining 77,000 empty federal buildings at $1.7 billion.
This is where we're putting this out.
The comedy ones are funny, the Thanos and all that. Yeah. They feel a little
but
silly.
But this is ridiculous.
But these are where the numbers start getting out of hand. Oh, there's a lot. Maintaining those 77,000 buildings. Basic education programs in Jordan to the tune of $210 million.
And we will not take money.
Camouflage uniforms that do not fit the environment in Afghanistan.
Can we add up just what Logan's gone through right now? I just want to add up what Logan's gone through right now, the ones he's listed. And you'll give me the number in a moment. Keep going. But just
I'm sure there's a total on here somewhere.
Well, no, I just keep going.
I mean, there's a lot on here. I'm just trying to go through all of them. Let's see. Unused hotel rooms, $17 million. That's for the illegal immigrants coming over the border.
Unlawful entrance.
I'm reading what he said. It's in my mind. Again, we said constructing the Mahatma Gandhi Museum for $3 million. Watching hamsters fight on steroids, $3 million. The Super Bowl commercial telling you to fill out the census. That was $2.5
million.
There
was $200,000 to stop at railroad crossings when you're driving.
Yes.
Isn't that the question in every driving test in the country?
Redeveloping the hard cider market in the United States. I don't know what that one's about, but it's on there for $491,000. And again, it said verifying the kids love their pets at $187,000. Of course, the Thanos one at $118,000. One of the lower ones, actually, was that one. And let's see. Try to see what else. There's so many different...
Do we have a total yet for me?
Almost got it for
you. Right. Using COVID relief funds to construct 11,000 square foot spa, $140 million. Again, who knows what the details are on some of these because you have to go through and break it down.
I'm very tempted to find out.
You can find out. I mean, he does break it down later.
You go to the agency
because it's coming
out of the agency reports. They don't make this stuff up.
Well, he lists everything exactly what it is later on. This is just sort of the highlights. But it does show the deep concern we should have over how your money is being spent. And I have a question for those who are listening. What would you think some of this money could be spent on, these hundreds of millions of dollars?
That'd be a good question.
I'm curious what you guys think would be a better use of the money maybe than the steroid mice or the cocaine beagles. I would love to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to a call, though, real quick. You want to do that?
Sure.
Let's go to Bill in Wyoming. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, great. Thanks for taking my call. And appreciate your program because you do tend to answer some of these questions that we have on air. Right now, my question is concerning the pets and animals. I mean, why can't we hear anything from the animal rights groups?
I think you will, Bill. We actually did early on when they were doing some of these tests on beagles earlier in the year, because a lot of this started late this year. There was some outcry. I forget why they were testing what the original thing was. And they do actually speak out on them and say this is ridiculous. It's not. And look, some of this, by the way, it's not just Democrats. There's funding coming from everybody here.
Oh, yeah.
This is the government in action, Republicans and Democrats who are going out there and spending and wasting so much money. I'm sure there are animal rights groups that are going after this because they don't believe in animal testing at all.
But I do think you asked the right question. Where should the money be? If you could go up to Washington today and say, this is where I want my tax dollars spent. What's priority one for you? I'd like to know what that is. I think we all would. We're going to open our phone lines. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I'd like to know what your priorities would be. You can give us your top two.
Yeah, sure. We got another one. It's called Nancy, who's calling in the state of Washington, I believe. Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I live on a little island, which is served by a little ferry which holds 20 cars. We have a year-round population of less than 2,000 people. We just received a government grant for $50 million for an electric ferry. Now, this is really problematic because after receiving this grant, part of our ferry landing has been expanded to accommodate this new ferry. Now we have environmental regulations on one side, which have eelgrass, you know, problems, so we can't continue. I won't go into all the details, but sure. $50 million for a little tiny community of people with a diesel ferry, which works beautifully. Anyway, this is just another example. Now, we cannot renege on that contract somehow, where they're saying we can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Now that we have problems with the actual use of the, you know, expanding
so
our
they
ferry get, landing.
They spent $50 million on a ferry that you can't now use because other environmental impacts and concerns. This is the government at work when it doesn't think that when you do something, there's a consequence or an action.
Yeah, and none of these, when you really look at it, are, or most of these are not humanitarian, if you will. And in that instance, I think a lot of people would go, well, I don't agree with the spending, but at least the cause is good. A lot of these causes are inconsequential, are not important. They certainly are not important to what's going on in the world right now. And look, you look at some of these buildings. I know from personal experience of family who've been contracted to build some of these federal buildings, is it's never about, you know, pinching pennies and figuring out, oh, can you do this? Because it's always about spending the most, using the most, getting the best materials, even if those materials are not even seen or used or needed. And then, of course, you have, to me, I don't know why, the one that sticks out to me is that Super Bowl ad about filling out the census.
Ridiculous.
Because it just feels like they were like, here's $3 million. Because how could that have done any good? It's not like an ad for a product.
First of all, the census, they follow up on it 9,000 times. Right. When you don't fill out the census. So, I mean,
it's a total waste. That's just $3 million going, yeah, sorry, or let's just throw that out the door. Some of these other ones, I'm sure at least there's some scientists going, we need to learn about these beagles and we need to figure out your current. And look, again,
this may not be the right years to be doing this.
It's the wrong time. Some of these things I understand. You do need to do testing, you need to be able to come up with treatment plans. This is not it.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. 800-684-3110. Bill is calling on line three. Hi, Bill.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would like to know how much government money is going to these NGOs that are taking care of the illegal immigrants.
Okay, so we don't know that number because that's probably a current expenditure that's not listed because it's probably coming out of HHS or these other agencies, Health and Human Services, Department of Homeland Security, but we're looking at all of that. You could rest assured, and this isn't a good thing, that whatever they're giving, it's not working. And here's the problem. And I'm not using the phrase illegal immigrants anymore. It's unlawful entrance, because I don't think you should tarnish the legitimate immigration system this way. These are unlawful entrants. These are people coming into the United States unlawfully. The problem here is the NGOs are saying, Catholic Charities was a perfect example. I think it was yesterday or the day before, was it, Will? I think in the last 48 hours, they said, we're basically out of money. We're basically out of, we can't control this. And that's why this whole Title 42, as we talked about yesterday, is staying, I think, in place right now. I think everybody's trying to figure out what to do. And the thing to do is have border security that's meaningful, and then people can't just come in here. It's not open entry. And that's where people think that the removal of Title 42 means come on into the United States. And it's just not the way it works. We have an immigration system. You're either here legally as a lawful immigrant to the United States, like my grandparents, or you are an unlawful entrant. And that's the two options. You're either here, and then those that are trying to get in on an emergency basis, which would be for asylum, there's specific asylum law. But if they're going through Mexico, they can't come to the United States. If they're coming from Venezuela up through Mexico to get to the United States and they're claiming asylum, supposed to say claim asylum in the first country you set foot in that would alleviate that problem you're facing. So that would have been Mexico. But I think what Mexico is doing is saying, just come on through. There's not a remain in Mexico policy really anymore. All that's happened.
There was some information our team was able to get. It looks like there was a grant for $168 million to the Vera Institute of Justice and $168 million with a one-year contract to provide free legal services to help essentially illegal immigrants avoid deportation.
So these are people that are unlawfully in the United States or facing a deportation proceeding. The United States taxpayers are paying for their lawyers.
Yeah, hundreds, at the tune of $168 million.
Do we know anything about the Vera Institute of Justice?
It's an activist group that helps with providing legal services to undocumented.
Well, there you go. I mean, they're allowed to exist.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, nothing necessarily wrong
but
with
it's
that.
$200 million a year tax. I'd like to spend that on agents to patrol the border. That might be good. All right, I'll tell you what we would like you to do. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that in our matching challenge campaign. Folks, we're down to the last 3 days. Tomorrow, Saturday, that's it. Saturday night, we have a concert for the Jay Sekulow Band. That's going to be at 8 o'clock Eastern time. It'll be on Rumble, Facebook, and YouTube. We encourage you to listen to that. We're really excited about that. But also, your support of the ACLJ is critical. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. So that's ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. And again, if you donate $50, we have someone that's matching it for another $50. So again, ACLJ.org. If you're watching on our social media, we encourage you to share it. If you're watching on Rumble, which a lot of you are, hit plus, and that'll get it in more feeds. We encourage you to do that. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110 in a moment. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are taking your calls on government spending and a host of other issues, 1-800-684-3110. But I wanted to mention that we are in federal court. American Center for Law and Justice put it up on the screen versus the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The case involves a situation that we filed a lawsuit yesterday about the FBI's noncompliance with Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Let me tell you what it is. The government used search terms of about 2 million search terms that resulted in 3,400,000 Americans being checked out by the FBI. The FBI has now admitted that four of those individuals, and I'm sure that's at least four of those individuals, were reviewed, and they should have obtained a FISA warrant first, which means they should have gone to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court before they did this. This is, again, another example of the FBI out of control, Professor Hutchinson, where, first of all, you're using 2 million search terms. Let me tell you something. That's going to put a lot of people in that net. That's number one. Go ahead, Harry.
It seems clear beyond question that in addition to interfering with American elections and providing cover for various actors on social media platforms, that the FBI has performed potentially millions of searches of Americans' electronic data without obtaining a search warrant and without complying with applicable law. In response to a report first mooted by the Wall Street Journal, the ACLJ has filed a FOIA request. It appears that the FBI has failed to comply with Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Harry, let me tell you what the FBI did. They acknowledged they got our letter. And that was it. Then the communication stopped because, well, obviously we struck a nerve. So that's why we're in federal court.
You are precisely correct. But this is par for FBI territory. They have routinely ignored the law in order to basically advance objectives that are outside of their purview. Keep in mind, the left hates the surveillance state unless they're in charge of it. And so in the United States, we've heard from various actors, particularly on the left, who are claiming that they are acting to do what? To save our democracy. In reality, they are cooperating with the surveillance state to destroy our democracy. So it's very, very important for the ACLJ to pursue this FOIA request and to not let up, because at the end of the day, unless we gain a court order, more likely than not, the FBI will not comply either with the Constitution or with the law.
So let me give everybody a time frame. On July 18th, the FBI acknowledged receipt of our FOIA request letter. So on July 18th, they acknowledge that they got it. They then send on another communication that says, this acknowledges receipt of your Freedom of Information Act request dated July 5th. That's when we sent it ours. It says It also stated that future correspondence about your FOIA Freedom of Information Act request will be provided in an email link unless the records file type is not supported by the e-system. Since July 18th, the FBI has neither sent a determination nor produced any documents. We're talking about 6 months here. On December 27, 2022, the system update said the FBI's FOIA program is searching the FBI's indices for potentially responsive documents. You may be contacted via formal letter for all fees and their negotiations. None of this is even in the correct order. This stuff had been pending for months. We've already laid out the issue of how we don't, under the law, what we have to do and not. We've litigated dozens of these cases. So we're in federal court. I'm saying this to show you folks that we're just not taking this. I mean, 2 million search terms, 3.5 million Americans, four of which are acknowledged, which is could be 400 for all we know, that should have been subject to a FISA warrant. You know what that means? The government got information. When they got it, it should have gone to a taint team. That means sent to another group and said, hey, I don't even know if we should have gotten this in our search of these terms, which means their search terms were too broad. The FISA court is a star chamber. It's the way it works is you go in, no lawyers for the other side. If you're the person that they're about to spy on or get information on, you don't get notification of it. But the government here acknowledges that four of these, yeah, we should have gotten FISA warrants, which means they had to go to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court and actually get a court-ordered warrant. And they didn't get it. So that's four. And this is just not, first of all, 2 million. I mean, can you think? I asked in our pre-meeting, I said, well, what do the search terms look like? And then they said, there's 2 million of them. What does it look like? Everything you could think of.
Absolutely. And it's also important to keep in mind the FBI's past performance within this arena. It has basically lied to the FISA court in previous years. So we should not trust the FBI. The FBI is no longer trustworthy. And you can also see evidence of the FBI's untrustworthiness with respect to their interference in Twitter and with other social media enterprises. Basically, that information that has been disclosed over the last several weeks. And then the FBI basically says, well, no big deal.
Yeah, well, it's a big deal now because we're in federal court and we'll get answers to this as we always do. We got a lot of calls coming in on government spending.
Yeah, we'll take some calls on that. And look, if you're on hold, we'll take a lot of these coming up in the second half hour, which starts in 2 minutes. So yep. Just stay on hold. We'll get to you. Let's go to Rhonda, who is calling in Ohio on line six. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is short. You know, I thought that back in the old days when we gave money to other countries, it was because we had it so good. How much homelessness and people in poverty here in America do we have to be before we stop our government from giving our money to other countries?
Look, this is and then even stuff they're giving to it in our country. You got to question the need of it and the utilization of it when you've got all these other issues we're facing in the United States. I have trouble dealing with a lot of this, and I'm glad the Senator Paul brings this out because we got a fentanyl crisis in this country that is killing, was it 250,000 people a year, and mostly 18 to 40-year-olds a year. It's coming in through our southern border. We have no real security operation down there. I mean, I think our Border Patrol agents are doing the best they can under a very difficult circumstance. But when you look at all this, you say to yourself, I mean, there's got to be a better way to do this. Instead, we're spending money on, you know, $2.5 million, Logan, on an ad to run during the Super Bowl on filling out your census form.
Right. In 2022. This is not exactly the right time to be doing this.
22 agents on the border. That's what it would be, at least.
For a 30-second ad, probably.
Yes, that made no difference and did not move the needle anyway.
I mean, I watched the Super Bowl. I have no recollection of this ad.
I do not remember the census ad.
I don't remember that because you probably didn't even think it was a paid ad. You probably thought this was some sort of PSA they threw in there. But of course, they bought the time. Look, we heard a lot of that during COVID. We heard a lot of those ads being run on the radio stations. Don't pretend those radio stations, a lot of them weren't getting funding to do that.
And look, right.
I don't blame them at all. The radio stations are taking the money. Why wouldn't you? But in terms of the way we spent the money, it's ridiculous. Hey, we got a second half hour coming up. If you don't get it on your local station, find us broadcasting live on social media and at ACLJ.org. Make your donation today, ACLJ.org as well, because part of our matching challenge, and it's the most important time of the year to do that.
Last 3 days of the month, folks, this is it. I mean, this is like we set the budget based on this week. So your support for the ACLJ is critical. I want to encourage you, if you enjoyed this broadcast, if you appreciate the work we're doing in Washington or in around the globe, literally around the globe, support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign for this month. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in the next half hour.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Well, we've talked about going after the FBI in federal court, which we are. Filed that lawsuit yesterday. We talked about government waste and spending. Logan could hit some of the highlights of this, folks. This is your taxpayer dollars at work at a time where I'd like to – do we ever get the total of what the – we did a rough calculation of what I would call the most obvious offenders of this. And Will did the number. What's the number, Will? How much?
So it's about over $7 billion when you take out some of the interest payments that he had in there as well.
I want you to take $7 billion, and I want you to divide it by 75,000. And there's a reason I'm going to do this. But this is – and Logan, tell people what these – they're just joining us for the second half hour. So these expenditures.
Yeah, Rand Paul put out this list. It's just all the crazy expenditures. Some are – the more egregious ones, the ones that people have been kind of comedically talking about are things like, hey, they've spent over $100,000 trying to decide if Thanos from the Avengers films could actually snap in his metal gauntlet. There was let's see here, $3 million for a Mahatma Gandhi museum in Houston, $2.5 million for a Super Bowl commercial telling you to fill out the census, $200,000 spent on a Department of Transportation radio campaign reminding you to stop at railroad crossings. So many more that were listed here. Obviously, we obviously talked about the animal abuse ones, which were injecting beagles with cocaine to they had a lot of reasons why they did that, but they spent $2.3 million on that, $1.1 on training mice to binge drink alcohol, $3 million study at Northeastern University involved watching hamsters fight on steroids. Okay. So an absolutely ridiculous amount of things. And we asked our listeners, well, what do you think this money should be spent on? We got a lot of feedback.
Yeah, we're going to take some calls on that at 800-684-3110. The number is 97,000. Is that correct, Will? So I just asked, if you took the $7 billion, and it's more than that, that's just the top, that's the ones we just listed right up the top.
That includes no interest.
And you divided it by $75,000. How many Border Patrol agents would you be able to hire? You know what the answer to that is? This is where you got to make it real. 97,000. Now think about that for a moment. If we would have taken that money and put 97,000 Border Patrol agents on our border, you think we would have a fentanyl crisis in the United States? You think we would have a humanitarian crisis on our southern border? Do you think we would have unlawful entrants doing sex trafficking, drug trafficking? The answer is no. So let's take, this is why we're doing this program today. 97,000 new agents. And then if you want to take the money that was going to go to the IRS for the 87,000 agents and add that to the border, we'd have 160,000 agents. That's the reality of this, folks, and that's why we're pointing this out. Do you want to grab one call before the break here?
Yeah, a lot of people have a lot of ideas. Let's go first to Jerry in Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My question is, why don't they put that money back in their Social Security system that they've been raiding for years?
That's a great point also. I mean, instead of depleting the Social Security system, which we've all paid into, how about, you know, getting some of the money? I think there's a lot of things you could do with it. I use the example of the Border Patrol agents because I think that's the most pressing concern on the minds of a lot of people right now with the Title 42 issues and all that that's going on.
Yeah, a lot of individual things. We'll take some of these calls. Look, if you're on hold right now, I'm going to take your call coming up in the next segment or two, so make sure you stay on hold. Because some people have some very creative ideas of where this money could be going, and it's not that far to just think about, oh yeah, this could have solved a lot of problems if you're talking about billions of dollars.
Yeah, no, I want to get into this, folks. This is for real. This is how, and we'll take this information and we're going to use it in Washington. So you give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We have a couple lines open, 800-684-3110. As we get ready to take a break, if you're able, let me encourage you to do this. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for it. I want to encourage you, if you're able to do so, to participate in our matching challenge. You know, this program's on 5 days a week, an hour, on radio, TV, social media platforms. You see us here. You know we've got other studios as well. You don't see all the folks behind the glass, but there's a lot of people going into the production of this. That alone, in my mind, is justification for your support of the American Center for Law and Justice. Then add the legal work on top of it, whether it's our Office of Government Affairs, whether it's the Supreme Court of the United States or a city council hearing in Colorado. Your ACLJ is there. Support our work, ACLJ.org, matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for it, ACLJ.org. And if you've got ideas on spending, where you'd like to see the money go, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment. By the way, the White House has notified, and this is no shock, notified the Congress that these investigations that they've requested information on, and remember, it was the minority party, it was the Republicans then requesting information about specific areas that they wanted to investigate. The border, which is obviously a big one, the Afghanistan withdrawal, the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the Department of Justice, when it went to a slew of documents from DOJ alleging targeting of Project Veritas, a group that's uncovered so much of the information we've seen on the life issue, the Hunter Biden investigation, all of that. The White House has said, hey, look, you're going to have to reissue your subpoenas. Truth of the matter is, it makes sense that they will, because they're now the majority party and they have subpoena enforcement powers. One of the things that backfired on the Democrats here was they went into court to increase the subpoena capacity of the government and their enforcement mechanisms. And some of the cases they won. Well, guess what? Guess who gets to use that now? Jim Jordan. That probably is not exactly as they planned it to be. All right, we're taking your calls. A lot of calls coming in on government waste, 1-800-684-3110. I want to say it again. We looked at around $7 billion on the top of our list at stuff. If it was gone, you would never notice it. $7 billion. If I took $75,000 a year as a salary for a Border Patrol agent and put the $7 billion in that, do you know how many agents we get on the border additional? 97,000. Then if you add the IRS money, that's no longer going to go to the IRS, and put it down there, you'd have 150,000 agents. That would solve your problem. That's how we need to be thinking about this. Real solutions for real people, because this is a real crisis in America. Let's go ahead and take calls.
Yeah, let's go. Let's just go in order as they come in as much as we can. Let's go to Steve in North Carolina on line four. I'll hold about a half hour. We appreciate it, Steve.
Hey, thanks. Steve, sorry it took so long to get to you, but go ahead.
No, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm a regular donation provider to ACLJ.
Great.
Because I believe that you all get the most results for where I could send a donation.
We appreciate that.
I really appreciate what you all do. Thank God for ACLJ and all the people that work there and the things that you have done, like overturning Roe v. Wade. But what I'm calling about today is, you asked the question, where should the money be spent? I believe that we really shouldn't spend that money at all. The national debt is out of control, and Democrats and Republicans are both guilty of taking taxpayer money and spending it on frivolous things that we're not even going to know about. I can't believe that the national debt is already approaching, what, $30 trillion?
Yep.
I have no idea, can't fathom what that is going to be like in terms of amount of money. So I'm just one person.
No, you've raised some really great issues. And Steve, let me ask you this, because this is an interesting question. You're talking about the national debt, which is, as you said, $30 trillion. You thought of that. I mean, that's the thing that's bothering you. What is it about that? Is it leaving that debt to the next generation is bothering you, or just the whole way our government's functioning?
Both. And if you go back and listen to what Ted Cruz outlined in October in front of the Senate, he lays it all out very clearly. It was very well done. And, you know, it's just that our country is bankrupt. Americans are in deep financial trouble because of the irresponsibility of both sides of the aisle.
Well, look, I think this is a Republican and Democrat problem. I don't think you can blame one party. But we need to start calling it like we see it. And I'm glad, Steve, you called in. I appreciate that. And Logan, these are creative. Yeah. You know, these look, this is what's concerning the American people. I get it.
One of the things that was in the list, one of the things we actually took out just because it was interest, but Rand Paul actually pointed out that the last year, just the interest on the debt, so just the interest on the debt we owed is $475 billion. So that's just the interest, kind of pointing to what he was talking about.
And by the way, who owns our debt? Mostly China.
Yeah.
So just think that you're taking your taxpayer dollars to pay interest on our debt that's mostly controlled or owned by the Chinese, who we should nullify that debt out in light of the COVID pandemic they put on the world. That should be their liquidated damage. That's what we should do. They say, you know what, China? We owe you $475 billion in interest payments. We're not paying it. Why are we not paying it? Because you released a pandemic on the world. The problem is the United States is dependent upon so much that comes out of China. So it's easy to say,
not that easy.
Harder to do. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Yep. Let's go to Edward, who's calling in Ohio on line 5. Edward, you're on the air, but also we now have opened up a few lines. So if you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. Edward, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is on this border issue. Why can't each state, with the taxpayers' money that they get, build their own wall? They can call it federal land, but why is the federal government is not doing anything to protect us when we have all these different nationalities coming from all these different countries coming into our country?
Well, here's the problem. The wall building was on land that the federal government said they controlled at the borders, and some of this in Texas and Arizona in particularly. And what that meant was, if the states were to build on it, they'd be building on land that wasn't theirs. It'd be almost like a trespass action. So this is the complicated nature of the whole border situation. And the complicated nature of Title 42, as we said on yesterday's broadcast. Title 42 was a temporary order put in place because of the coronavirus, because of COVID, that allowed the federal government to say, we will immediately expel unlawful entrants into the United States. And we will do that because of the increased contamination of the spread of the disease. What Justice Gorsuch said in his dissenting opinion, and we'll see what happens now that they're granted review, is, you know, that problem fortunately has passed by to the extent that it was at before. And that's not really, so they can't have these things ad infinitum. They can't just keep going, which means you have to have actual concrete fixes to these serious problems. And you all are calling with great questions, I mean, and great ideas. And we want to continue taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go to Josh, who's calling in Oregon on line 2. You're on the air.
Hey, Josh.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call today. This one is kind of interesting. It's basically currently schools today receive about 10 to 15 grand per student. I was just thinking, what if there was actually a study into home education funding? What effect would this have on abortion rates, jobs, employment? How many jobs would that actually bring in? You could have national quota testing and stuff like that. But that would take, mothers in a situation where they don't know what to do. They can't foresee any future to now all of a sudden be able to be a work-at-home mother and actually, raise a family in a more traditional manner.
You know, it's interesting to me, and it's a very interesting idea, Josh. I've thought about this. If they took the amount of money spent per child, which I think is averages closer to $20,000 per student, and said, you know what, we're just going to give that money to the parents. Here's $20,000. Educate. You want to put your kid in private school? Private school. You want to go to public school? Public school. If you want to go to homeschooling, it's your $20,000. How much different would the system be if we allowed that to happen? And that's what really we've been big on the school choice issue. We continue to believe it's a civil rights issue. Education is a civil rights issue in this country.
But it's tough to sort of fix these big institutions once they've been established. But there are ways we can do it. There's ways we fight back.
You got to deal with the labor unions, and that's the problem here. I mean, I'm not naive. I mean, I know what you're up against. You're up against a behemoth with these labor unions that are tough. So that's where you got to be aggressive. And we're pointing out the expenditures because we're going to try to get to the bottom of some of these. And that's why I use the number on the border issue. I mean, if you just took the $7 billion, and by the way, it's a lot more than probably 10 times that, you could hire every border agent you would need. And that's the reality. Now, the political will to do it, not there. But that's where elections have consequences, too. It's like, how bad will it have to get before people realize this isn't self-correcting? And it's not self-correcting.
Right.
Period.
We are going to be taking a lot more phone calls and comments coming up at 1-800-684-3110.
Is that a train?
That's train. Yeah, we hear it on the air, so it's okay. But once a week or so during the air.
I've never really noticed it before.
Oh, I do every show because there's moments where you go, what's happening outside our studio walls? But no, it's a train that runs
by. That's fine. All right, folks, what I want to encourage you to do is give us a call. We're in the last segment of the program coming up at 1-800-684.
The money could go to fixing our rail.
Gosh, you're talking about a system that's archaic. I mean, there's one. But we will take your calls at 800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And if you're watching on any of our social media apps, whether it's Facebook, Rumble, which is our preferred provider, or YouTube, or wherever else you might be getting us, let me encourage you to stay on for this break because I want to talk to you during the break, those of you that are watching the broadcast. So we encourage you to do that. We will take your calls at 800-684-3110. You all have come up with great ideas. We're going to use these for our Office of Government Affairs in Washington, D.C. So at the first of the year, we're going to get to work on that. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Now, let me encourage you to do this. Support the work of the ACLJ. How do you do it? You just go to aclj.org. And when you're there, you donate any amount of money that you're able to donate. It's tax deductible. And any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. So that's aclj.org, aclj.org. And that is a great way to support the work of the ACLJ. Also, don't forget, on Saturday night, New Year's Eve, at 8 o'clock, Logan laughs that we do a New Year's Eve party at 8 o'clock, but, you know, I know my audience. Our band, the J Secular Band, is going, we like to call it JSB, because everybody in that band has got an initial JRS in their name. We encourage you to go ahead and mark your calendar, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, to participate in our year-end concert. We encourage you, and I'll give you some updates as well. Back with more in a moment.
Secular. Last segment of the day, taking your phone calls. We do have a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to David, who's calling in Virginia on line six. Hey, David.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, sure. Jay. Sure. Hey, three quick points, one about the border and two others.
Yep.
The number one power of the border, of course, is the cartels. Yep. And internationally and domestically, we launder their drug monies. The banks get DPAs, as you know, yep, deferred prosecution agreements. Number two, nationally.
By the way, I'm not going to cut you off. I want you to finish. He's sure. Absolutely right. David's absolutely right. There are deferred prosecution agreements. There are null pros agreements. There's a whole source of this. So, you know, getting these cartels is like the beginning of the problem, not the end of it. But go ahead, David.
Right. Well, you got to get their money. Number two, nationally, there's a national bill, the Fair Act, Rand Paul. It has to be passed. It's not going to get done nationally. Due process. It's got to be passed by basically all the states. And number three, everybody should know this. Nobody's discussed it. BSA 1970, the Banking Secrecy Act, which clogs us up at the banks, reporting $10,000 in cash, is related to the airports. That's never been inflation adjusted since 1970.
I've said that too. These things are frozen in time. You're right, David. From the 1970s. The 1970s. I mean, it's like nothing's updated since 1970, and that's because you have to get to federal rules and regulations. You got to pass new laws, and it's just not happening. And this is the dysfunction of government.
Yeah, it's like Southwest Airlines, just never updating systems. By the way, proud A-lister. So, you know, just
what
saying.
Does that mean?
That means I can get on the plane before a lot of people. You know?
Evidently not.
Well, not right now. No.
Even if you're an A-lister, let's take another call.
Let's go to Bob in New York on line three. Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob.
Thank you much for taking my call.
Sure.
I completely agree with Steve a couple calls ago. But if I were to have to spend that money, I would spend it on finishing the wall, number one.
Yep.
Number two, highways. Number three, the veterans.
Right.
Our veterans deserve better.
I mean, those are easy. Three easy things that you could see the money going.
Well, let's take a look at them. I mean, the highways are, look, we need work on the highways. The interstate system was put in place by Dwight D. Eisenhower in the 1950s. And some of these roads look like they haven't been updated since the 1970s.
Like Southwest Airlines.
No, yeah. Well, you got to stop. You got to stop on them. All right. And that's number one. Number two, the VA. If we cannot take care of our veterans, we're not taking care of America. So we need to take care of our veterans. And yes, the money could be used there. And, you know, the not building the border wall was amongst the most ridiculous things this current administration did. Why do you not want a security fence? You build fences. You know what fences, good fences make good neighbors. And that's the reason you have them. All right, we're going to take the rest of these calls.
All right, yeah, we got a couple more and some lines to read right now. 1-800-684-3110. We got about 5 minutes. We can take some more. Let's go to Les, who's calling in Virginia on line one.
Hey, Les.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
One of the things I think is the problem is the fact that they do these omnibus bills, which
yes,
is no human being can understand everything that's in these things. And they throw them on the senator or the congressman's desk, you know, in the wee hours of the morning. And basically, I don't think they care. They just, whoever the leadership is, wants that crap passed, they throw it on it and they pass it and they act like they're going to do something with it later. But I think they need to make a dollar amount. You know,
well, I mean, here's the problem. It's 4,187 pages. So let me tell you who's reading it. Nobody. And if to read it, by the way, then you have to go back to these other pages. So the spending is out of control. The numbers are just out of whack. They pass it because that's how they can get out of town. You realize that's why they're doing this, right? So they can get out of town and get on vacation. So start holding them accountable is why we have an Office of Government Affairs in Washington, D.C.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. A couple more. Larry in Oklahoma on line four. Welcome.
Hey, Larry.
Thank you for taking my call. My mind's on the national debt.
Yep.
And with recently turning 63, it's also on the Social Security system. We need to pay back the national debt.
If you paid into the Social Security system, the fact of the matter is it would be, if you took out the actual money that's coming out of it, would be negative. And, I'm of the Social Security age, too. We all paid into it. You want to see that for yourselves and your family. But the truth of the matter is all of these kind of spending issues across the board are where I think the rubber meets the road. And one of the things we're going to have our Office of Government Affairs concentrate on starting in January, we've increased that staff drastically. Double the staff, basically. We're going to be on top of these spending issues because, you know what? Spending directly impacts you and your family, you and your kids, you and your grandkids, you and your local community, all impacted by national expenditures. And what we have to do is have real transparency. We had J.B. McCuskey, the auditor from the state of West Virginia, on the broadcast last week, who in West Virginia... He did as the auditor, a totally transparent system. So not only do they know where their money's going, but when they give a tax incentive to a company, they know what the return on that investment is. What is West Virginia getting out of that fact that the local business is paying for a tax, but a big national corporation's not, but maybe it does introduce a lot of revenue into the tax system for other ways. That's fine if it does, but he's actually finding out if it does or doesn't. And I think that's where we need to be going on a federal level too. And I think Rand Paul's doing a great job on that. We look forward to continuing to work with his office on that because this is where it really counts. And this is where the real problems are.
That's right. That's why we've only a couple minutes left here, but we want to tell you to support the work of the ACLJ. It is, again, sort of the end of our matching challenge, end of our year.
Literally.
And you can be a part of it for a couple more days. We encourage you to do it today. When you have New Year's Eve over a weekend, it kind of impacts your last day of fundraising. Yes. Because a lot of people do... They're at the very last second, they do it here in gifts, but a lot of people are going to be out. A lot of people are going to be with their families because it's vacation time and also because it's over a weekend. So if you have a minute, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, I encourage you. If you're able to do it, this is a great day to do it. We only have today, Friday, and Saturday, and that's it. Now, Saturday at 8 o'clock, we're going to do our band concert, and that's going to be on Rumble, Facebook, and YouTube, wherever you get your social media feeds. And we encourage you to join us for that. It's always a great time. We do it at 8 o'clock Eastern time, even though Logan makes fun of us about that. But
no, I think that's fine.
It is fine because
it's not going until midnight.
I know
my
audience.
This isn't a four-hour show.
No, it's a two-hour show.
Yeah.
Plus, a little more than 2 hours. So we encourage you to enjoy that
with us. We'll be in bed by 10:30.
But, yeah, but during that, we're going to ask you to support the work of the ACLJ as well. I'll give you some update on cases. But go to ACLJ.org. If you're able to do it, I just told this to our audience that's watching our broadcast on Rumble and Facebook and YouTube. They uniquely see what's going on here. But if you're listening on radio, too, you know the amount of information we give out. You know what we're doing as far as in the courts. We talk about a case we've got at the Supreme Court of the United States. We could find out as early as a week from tomorrow, whether the Supreme Court's going to grant review in a major religious liberty case. It's just 1 week out. And then the next phase of briefing starts. We filed an opening petition for certiorari. The other side responded. We filed our reply brief. The court then circulated in conference. We'll know on next Friday whether or not we could know as early as next Friday. They can extend that. That can happen. It rolls over. But we're going to know real soon. That's where your support comes in. Whether it is this broadcast, the Supreme Court of the United States, or as you know, sending lawyers out to a Colorado City of Pueblo meeting to make sure at least the pro-life message could be heard. The ACLJ there at the forefront. And we've doubled the size of our office in Washington, D.C., and we're expanding that entire operation. We'll tell you more about that in the year ahead, coming up in 2023. It's going to be a phenomenal announcement we're very excited about. Your support is critical. It's a matching challenge campaign. The best way to do it, if you're able, is to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And any amount you give, we're getting a matching gift for. So that makes a huge difference for us. As Logan said, tomorrow, is Friday, then Saturday. So we have 3 days here, and we raise a significant portion of our budget in these next 3 days. I mean, it's that much of a dependence upon the end of the year for us.
All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Visit aclj.org to make that donation, support the work. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you very much, aclj.org.